Rambling on.
Hello, and a big happy birthday to all of us on Rabbiting On and to all of our listeners, because we are marking a year of our podcast, which is quite amazing. This time last year, the Movement for Reformed Judaism brought the three of us together to try something new, to try and express something about what Reformed Judaism is, what our movement can be, and to continue to make our Judaism meaningful, accessible, communal, personal, relatable. And a year on, maybe we can tick those boxes. We'll ask ourselves later. And we're celebrating a whole year of Rabbiting On. It's our 25th episode, which is just really phenomenal. We've covered topics ranging from Shavuot, Purim, that was a fun one, behind the scenes, High Holy Days, weddings. Apparently that's our most listened to episode. I think that's right. Music and the life of Anne Frank, which was our last one. And we've been lucky to spend some time in conversation with some really fabulous guests. And we're going to have more next year. We've shared part of ourselves with each other and the listeners, you, that wouldn't normally emerge in our working days. And we've been really recording through some extraordinary times. Terror and the military response in Israel-Palestine. That's how we opened our show actually last year. And now here we are a year later, still with tensions high and just more bloodshed. We've recorded and responded to the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, the ongoing pandemic, Prince Philip dying, the Winter Olympics, French election, COP26 in Glasgow, MRJ turning 80. That's a funny one in the list, really. It seems like it's not exactly global events, but in our world it is. And the war in Ukraine. So we really have been living through and reflecting on a phenomenal time. So let's just open with a really big question. How's it been doing the show for you both?
It's been such a privilege. I think the main thing that made me want to do this was the opportunity to know that every couple of weeks I would have a chance to sit and chat to Miriam and Robin and to reflect together and learn together. And I think actually part of the dynamic of that has meant that quite often the three of us forget that there will be listeners and let our guards down and share stuff that maybe we wouldn't normally share in the course of our work. But I think that's kind of just us being who we are and being with each other. And the laughter and the collegiality and the learning really from both of you has been such a joy for me.
I'm feeling a bit guilty having heard Robin's introduction. Maybe the MRJ should have shared their aims and objectives of the podcast. I thought they just brought us here to chat. That's why it's called Rabbiting On. I thought we were just here to have a chat, pretend we were sort of, you know, having dinner together and see what came up. But we'll have to work hard for the next season.
Absolutely. What I love about it is when people come up to me and they're part of the conversation and they'll just continue it and it'll take me a moment to get in context of, oh, we've listened to that episode and they're continuing and that we've been with people, you know, during their ups and downs and our ups and downs as well is a real privilege. I know there was one moment for me that was really special and it talks to what Debbie, you were saying about just the chance of us three and producer Dan coming together every 2 weeks. I remember there was one episode we finished recording, I don't know if you remember this, and Miriam, you said something about you read so many books because, you know, I always like, in this book I read, in that book I read, which comes from a place of insecurity more than anything. But, and then you shared that, and then I said, I feel like such an imposter sometimes in this space and spoke about feeling like a bit of a fraud in it. Debbie, you shared as well. And it was, I thought it was amazing to have a space where you can name some of those insecurities and really speak to it. And then we just ended up laughing about it because there was always, everyone's having, you know, that little kind of narrative of, oh, am I okay in this space? And I've just settled into it. It's been like such a pleasure to be able to share and just bring our whole selves to it.
Well, I think imposter syndrome is one of those really big areas that a lot of people don't talk about, but actually a lot of people experience. I remember I gave a pause to thought about 6 or 7 years ago about imposter syndrome, and lots of women got in touch with me afterwards and said, that was so true. I totally relate to that. That's what I experience. And quite a few men got in touch and said, that was really brave to share, Debbie. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so interesting that the power of sharing sometimes that we've been able to do this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been interesting who's listened as well. And they're reflecting back. So my sister is my like number one listener because she always tells me she's listened. And then, you know, she probably knows me better than anyone else in the world. So it's interesting to hear because I also refuse to listen to this once we've had the conversation because I can't bear to listen to things I've recorded or sort of replay them back. It's just, I just can't do it. But to hear it through her experience. So, you know, on some of the conversations where she'll say like, oh, you know, I want it. You made me cry while I was walking around the Hampstead Heath because I was listening to your podcast. And other times where she's laughed saying, I can't believe you came out with something sounding so rabbinic when you meant that we talked something about, you know, when we were doing funerals and what do we do to sort of cope with holding so many other people's grief and all of that. And she said, oh, you gave some really rabbinic answer to it. But actually, we all know that you just eat your way home in the car. And that kind of like, I wasn't sure that would sound really quite as good in the moment, if I was actually honest.
And there's also all sorts of listeners that we don't know and we haven't met. So I had a lovely experience just last night. We were having an evening at the synagogue of meeting a kind of cohort of members, and someone I hadn't met before makes a beeline for me, said, I've been loving listening to your podcasting. And, you know, it's a really nice opening gambit, because I mean, he seems to have heard almost all of them, and there's sort of all these conversation starters that just come out of rabbiting on. Producer Dan, oh, you're right, it's not even coming through this stupid thing. Is that better?
So much better. That's fine.
Shall we make a joke of that?
It's nice to let the curtain down and show them okay. The lack of magic. You're fine. Okay. Off you go.
So hopefully my sound will be a little bit better now, because being complete amateurs, I've been sitting in front of this gymungous microphone and using my webcam. That microphone.
Can
apparently.
We just clarify the derivation of the word gymungous? What did you just
Gymungous.
Call it? Gymungous. That's an excellent word.
Is that not in the Oxford Dictionary?
It's a great word. It works really well.
Hopefully tech is now sorted. Apologies for the poor sound quality from Boreham this morning.
We've all learned, haven't we, along the way about microphone placement and spit guards, which were new, introduced only this month to us. So
pop
thinking
guards,
back,
aren't they?
Do you
pop guards.
What are they called?
Pop guards, I think.
Oh, not even
not
spit
up
guards.
North.
They not call them spit, they spit at them.
It's a pop shield. Pop shield.
Oh, we're all wrong.
Thanks, producer Dan. It's a pop shield up north. Yeah, I had to like get special electricity run into the synagogue just so that we could do our podcast, because lack of running water and everything. So why don't we reflect back? Are there favourite moments that you have from our year of podcasting, particular episodes that stick in your mind or moments?
I can't actually remember the episode, but Miriam mentioned that on family holidays, they would get taken to Auschwitz.
It wasn't exactly a family holiday. I just want to clarify, but I was only nine. It's true.
And I was like, oh, we went to Turkey. Just those sort of moments where we just sort of bounce, I suppose. I'm conscious that the lovely producer Dan, who we're actually going to meet this episode, hopefully, has been very keen for us all to have an argument. And we found it very challenging to disagree with each other. We finally found something to argue about at Pesach. And it was kitniot that Miriam and I disagreed on. Because Miriam is such a frummer. And I'm so lenient.
Have you noticed that it's always, the arguments are always because I'm so frum?
Yeah.
You're so frum.
I bet your children are allowed Easter eggs as well. My son's not allowed oval-shaped chocolate for a few weeks a year either. I think for me, the thing that has been so interesting is that the world has changed over the last 2 years in the most obscene and ridiculous ways. And I've kind of felt like somebody keeps changing the film, and yet I can't get out of being a character in these crazy science fiction, ghastly films that we'd rather not be living through. And yet, each time we've had a visitor on, they've taught me something about the fact that, like, the world changed just as quickly. It's just I wasn't living it out at that time. So having Rabbi Jackie Tabak on and talking about her experience of being the first woman rabbi in this country was that real reminder of, like, the world is always changing at a ridiculous pace. It's just when you look back on it, feels really different to when you're living through it. And it did give me a kind of boost of like, one day we'll be looking back at this. We won't be living through it. Yeah. And that sort of change of narrative of when you're experiencing something. And I think it should teach us all something about how we connect with people of different generations and how we allow them space to talk because of the realities of what they've experienced and what we kind of shake off as old news.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. It speaks to what I was going to say about one of the things I've loved doing this. And we're going to carry on, by the way. It's not a goodbye. It's just a reflection moment. Is being able to talk a little bit about the art of a rabbi, like what is it that we do? And you know, a lot of that is trying to speak to the moment that we're in and react or respond rather to the things that are going on. And what's been lovely about this space is actually doing that together, to have a space to think, well, this has happened and hear how you both express it. It'll often find its way into a Shabbat service that I'm leading of like an insight or something. And the bigger picture and the perspective shift, like you said, I think actually that episode of Rabbi Jackie Tabak, I found completely mind-blowing, where she gave the story particularly about Rabbi Lionel Blue, who last minute on Yom Kippur, which is kind of terrifying, saying, I'm not well, Jackie will need to lead the mincha, the afternoon service, just really spoke to the kind of the ancestors who, you know, whose shoes we stand in, but who really have like modeled what it is to be Menschlichkeit, but also just lead with values. And the fight, I just didn't really realize quite how Jackie had to fight or how different it was, even though I feel like I'm still fighting a little bit. But that I found really powerful and beautiful, like lifting up those stories as well. Really amazing.
Yeah, I think that episode has made me even more conscious of the wonderful allyship that we often do experience, as well as the tricky stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, it's not only our fight today, but all our colleagues are in it with us.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I really appreciate about our lovely producer, Dan, is that he really understands the importance of lifting up these stories and what Reform Judaism can really add. So he and Graham, who do a lot of work at Reform Judaism, went out and listened to loads of rabbis, loads of leaders to understand what they were feeling about Reform Judaism or things they wanted to see or whatever. And I remember him coming back and just saying, these stories really matter. Like, it's beautiful. We need to be talking. We need to get that message out there. And I think what I found very helpful about that is we all have a vision or a purpose, at least, of where we want to do and why we do our work. But the day-to-day can be so difficult and so tiring. Like, both of you, you know, you did 3 stone settings, I think, each on Sunday. You know, it's just really, like, emotionally, but also practically draining this job, 6-day weeks, which we will definitely talk about because I feel very strongly about why we have a model like that. And it can be hard. Sometimes you lose the idea of like, why are we doing this? Why does it matter? And producer Dan and MRJ have created this space where we actually get to reconnect to it and say, this is why it matters. And then with listeners, have that kind of dialogue and understanding as well. So with that in mind, shall we welcome in for his big moment, producer Dan, who is going to read out some of our listener comments that we've received over the year.
I think you can hear, hark the whooping of our listeners as we introduce Dan.
Whoop, whoop. The crowd goes wild.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, how on earth do I open after that introduction? But yes, it has been a really amazing year. And I mean, for me, just a complete pleasure to meet with you every couple of weeks and to come together in this way. We had no idea at the beginning whether anybody at all would listen or continue to listen, let alone kind of write in and share their thoughts. And so here's a brief selection from some of our listeners over the last year. Okay, so this was the perfect pre-Shabbat podcast. Insightful, interesting, and funny. Great trio. Can't wait for the next episode. Shabbat Shalom.
Was that from one of our aunts or sisters?
I knew you would ask that, so I purposely chosen comments from listeners who none of you are related to, and I can't say that you don't know them, but they're not direct family members, so these are the ones that I chose.
Oh, I love that.
We have had comments from people saying that their rabbiting on has formed a part of their kind of weekend ritual. Some people listen over lunch after being in shul on Shabbat. You know, it's become the kind of regular feature. So, you know, I'd love to get your thoughts on that actually afterwards. But here's another. Love the podcast so much. I've struggled to find anything that's progressive, feminist, open-minded, non-judgmental and curious. And rabbiting on is all of those things, which is quite an achievement. And again, I just think, you know, that obviously is something that all of you bring, but you do it so naturally and so eloquently, perhaps you don't realise how incredibly powerful that is for people listening. So it's nice to have that recognised from someone.
It's only Miriam that's judgmental about Christmas and Kitty.
Very judgmental. But I'm also feeling a little bit like it feels like someone's reading out my school report.
Yeah, I feel the same. I've got butterflies. This is why we got Dan to read them.
I feel like, oh, this is excruciating. But nice, but excruciating.
One more then, and for me, this is a really interesting one. I'm not Jewish, but I love rabbiting on. I really hope that you continue with your podcast even when everyone is moving around freely again, because they are such a special way of listening to the thoughts of people who have dedicated years of their lives to thinking and feeling and experiencing these issues. How else would a person get to hear this in this style on such a regular basis?
That's so powerful.
Great. You know, we've really, you know, we look at the sort of listening figures and we've found an audience, not just here in the UK, in Manchester, London and other Jewish communities across the UK, but really all over the world, in some surprising far corners of places that I've, you know, had really never heard of even. And they're there every time you listen. So just a big thank you from me and from the Movement for Reform Judaism for giving so generously of your time, coming with ideas and, you know, balancing everything else that you have in your lives, but still making the time to do this. I'm really grateful and I'm really looking forward to coming back in the autumn with series two of Rabbiting On after this one. And so I'll disappear again now, but thank you for having me on. It's been really lovely. I just want to ask a quick question before I go. I'm curious, is there a sort of single issue that doing the podcast has kind of really changed your thinking on? Maybe something in your professional lives or in your personal lives. And I just wonder, what's the thing that's focused or shifted your take on something?
The thing I've learnt here that I've quoted, I think, most often since was actually something David Jacobs taught in his session when he was talking about the origins of Reform Judaism. Because I don't, the minutes of that meeting, of the coming together of different Reform synagogues to look at education during the evacuation of children during the war and how were we going to kind of work together on that, I just keep reiterating that thing of, you know, sometimes the best partnerships are formed because we have one task that we just want to achieve together, that it doesn't have to be all about, you know, how are we in relationship with each other and what's this going to look like and what's the administration going to do and how do we make this work? But actually, what's our one thing we want to achieve? And therefore, how does working together make us achieve that better than working as individual communities? And it works on a kind of future of Reform Judaism thing, but it also works in so many other aspects of interfaith work and intercommunity work and just on a personal level, like find the thing that you and someone else want to achieve together so much better than agonizing over kind of what does the partnership look like.
That's a really powerful reflection. I love that. I think what I've learned through the conversations kind of more generally, less specifically, is about bringing some vulnerability to the conversations and to the task of leadership, which maybe then enables us to find that shared task or shared purpose. I think because I was a lawyer and being a lawyer is very, you fit in a certain box, a certain way to be a lawyer, and it's not really somewhere where you bring your emotions and personality necessarily. We can unpack that, people can disagree, but I brought that to being a rabbi, this idea of like, I am rabbi now. And, you know, I try and kind of hide certain emotions or certain parts or histories of me within the role, thinking that that's what's needed, this kind of charismatic, mysterious figure. And I've learned through this year, and generally, I think, so I'm coming up to 5 years of being a rabbi, that actually what makes me a better leader is if I step into that vulnerability. And you two really always open up and bring your whole selves to your rabbinate. And I love that. It's very freeing and it's really helpful. And I think it's made me a better rabbi as well. So thank you both for that.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I think that storytelling is a really powerful part of what I enjoy about being here, learning with you two and from your experience. And I know, Robin, you often feel like you're kind of the junior rabbi in this dynamic. And I want to kind of affirm that that's just not true. We all have different and diverse experiences, and I've learned from both of you, and learning from colleagues is always such a privilege and a pleasure. It's also, you know, I was asked to do a bit of teaching at the Rabbinic Assembly this week, and it's the scariest thing to do is to try and teach with our colleagues. And I suppose this has always felt like a safe way of kind of being together. And I think for me, one of the beautiful parts of it is that
space of personal investment in some way, that actually we know we're putting something useful out, I hope, but also I'm learning all the time and learning from your rabbinates. But I think our jobs can often feel quite siloed and kind of, you know, we've got to do the things that we've got to do, and sharing the commonality of what we do and of our lives is really helpful and comforting, and knowing that, you know, these experiences are not just me on my own. But it's hard for me to identify one moment, because I think there's something about Rabbiting On that for me is a model, I suppose, of Reform Judaism, which is a constant unfurling, a constant growing and changing. And some of our guests have been a brilliant example of that. We've talked already about Jackie and David Jacobs, but also, you know, some of our wonderful LGBT guests, and looking at just how much things have shifted in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years. But we're not reformed. We're always changing and growing. And for me anyway, Rabbiting On feels like a part of that growing and changing, and being able to grow and change together. If we were reformed, we'd be finished. We'd be done changing. But it's a constant process. And actually, I think it's a really authentic Jewish process that's been happening for 2000 years. And we're just a tiny little drop in that continuation.
I love that. And I love actually that idea of unfurling, because one thing that I'm a, as we know, perfectionist, another revelation.
And a vegan.
And a vegan, if you don't know. And did you know? No, I'm not going to carry on. my dad is not Jewish. I've now lost my train of thought. Oh, sorry. I know. Constant unfurling. I was just thinking about this space, actually, because I prepare everything. And I guess we do as, you know, professionals. You write a script, you write a sermon, you'd write a Hesped, a eulogy. This in the space, you've kind of got to trust what comes. Our script is very much like headline points. And I've just learned to relax into it, of like, I will have what I need in the conversation. I will learn what I need to learn. And that trust, again, as part of that constant unfurling, you've got to be open to that, haven't you? It's quite a different discipline and different space than what I'm used to, which is, you know, overly preparing. You've got to open up to it all.
I was talking to a Methodist colleague on March of the Living about the nature of really preaching in the Methodist tradition versus what we do. So there are different ways that Reform rabbis approach sermons, but largely we go with either notes or a script and, you know, deliver what we've been thinking through all week. In the Methodist tradition, it's much more common to unscript, and you might have bullet points, but just to, you know, they will talk for anything from 20 to 40 minutes.
Wow.
And
how are they doing with numbers at services?
But, you know, I think there's something so fascinating about that, you know, those different approaches to what it is to share and talk and how we do that, and learning all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm sometimes kind of struck by those moments where we have conversations that sort of the difference between what feels like a work moment and what feels like, well, we're just rabbis and it's just part of our identity. And in the same way as, you know, I'm a mum all the time, whether my son is with me or not, like I'm a rabbi wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. And it tends to be those kind of experiences that, you know, there are no, I guess, having grown up in a rabbi's house as well, the sort of the goldfish bowl, the kind of, there's no distinction. There's no, this is when you're on and this is when you're off, or this is when you're at work and this is when you're not. You are who you are. You are the rabbi 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever you are in the world. And there's something about these conversations that it's almost as if, which box do they fit into? The kind of scripted worky moments of like, well, we're being recorded, so it should be that. And it just feels like the conversations around the dinner table where you are who you are. You're still the rabbi, but you're just not in that kind of work mode, scripted moment. And so it's that, for me, it's that lovely crossover of platforms of life, I guess, where you're allowed to be a different type of rabbi when you're in the supermarket than when you're on the bimah. It's just you're still the rabbi in both those places.
Yeah, you need to have a word with other things are available, but Alexa, because we were playing with my mum's, we got new Alexa machines, so we were like calling each other and stuff. So my mum said, call Robin. And it said, which Robin do you want to call? Robin Ashworth-Steen or Rabbi Robin? I was like, well, there we go. Which one today? It said quite a lot. I'm a bit
terrified of Alexa, to be honest.
Oh, I love them. I'm so into my tech.
I'm a bit scared of what she might take control of.
Good, it's the way we're going.
Can I just say, you're driving our listeners mad. Anyone who's listening to this in a room where she sits is now being driven mad because I don't understand that command.
Alexa, subscribe to Rabbiting On. Oh no, my Alexa just went off. That's so funny. She's just subscribed. Okay, so we are going to have lots of opportunities to just keep coming back together, to laugh together, to reflect, to be emotional, vulnerable, whatever it is, together. You can probably hear the building work outside as well. Our building next door is being knocked down as Jackson's Day is about to be, so apologies for that. But we are going to keep building up our podcast, and particularly because we're continuing celebrating the year of being 80, the movement of Reform Judaism. So we'll continue to come back together and commit to our Jewish values and to celebrating them. We are, if you haven't gathered, going to take a little break from Rabbiting On, as many podcasters do, and is vital for us all to have moments of rest and fallow fields, the Shemitah idea, Shabbat idea. We're doing the same with our podcast, but we will definitely be back with a new series in the autumn. We've got some really exciting guests potentially lined up and lots to talk about. In the meantime, you can keep in touch with us and keep the conversation going. So do drop us a line on media@rjuk.org. But that's it for now. Thank you to you, Debbie and Miriam, for just being the most gorgeous colleagues. To producer Dan, the most patient and loveliest of producers, for giving you a wave. And really to all of the listeners who make this possible. And together we're really creating something beautiful. So we'll see you really soon. Bye from all of us.
We'll have to have plenty of time to rabbit on without anyone listening.
Yeah. Have a good summer.
Bye.
Bye. Rabbit on.